The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. We are so grateful for all of their presentation of Ira's work at JoeBucksFan.com. Everything, including these twice weekly podcasts that have become so popular on the website, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, and other platforms. At Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, during the Instacash trade event, trade up to an XT5. That's right. General Manager Brian Danahy, he is going to give you Instacash when you trade in today, then lease a 2019 luxury XT5 for only $349 a month. $349 a month. That's the beautiful crossover at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. And I'm not telling you to cross over 275. I'm saying it's a crossover vehicle. Beautiful. Check out Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa.com. That's Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa.com. And there are many other offers available during the Instacash event. And also Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon right there on Causeway Boulevard. Up to $18,000 off on remaining 2018 models or 0% APR for 72 months on 2018 XT5s and Escalades. Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.com is the website. Visit them. Look at all the offers there. We have offers at JoeBucksFan.com. Great opportunities, great dealerships, great partners. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Happy Tuesday, Super Bowl week Tuesday on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Tampa Bay's only Hall of Fame voter. That's right, Ira is it. He is the man. This is his week. And this is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee D. Kemper is not here. He is at the Pro Bowl. No, he's Ira. I threw you a curveball there. He's at the Super Bowl.
And when he leaves, I show up. Two ships passing in the night.
Exactly. And we are here to talk about a lot of things going on. Of course, we never have a shortage, Ira. And how are you? You look good?
I'm doing well. Got a sports coat on. You got me... I count the glory days in Palm Harbor. I figure we got a nice booth, you know, like Costanza's father. I got a booth over here, and I walk in, and you're sitting outside on the patio section. I'm freezing my cojones off over here. What are you doing to me?
Come on, toughen up, Sage. It's what, 55 degrees?
I walk in, I got a cold lemonade waiting for me over there. I'm surprised the thing didn't freeze over.
Man up, Ira, man up. Come on.
What's going on with the top 50? Got anything to report? Nothing. You got nothing for
me. You know, I haven't even looked it up, Ira. It's fine. You're all good. Your podcast dominates on iTunes among the local Bucks podcasts. And, of course, Ira, your podcast can be found on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, and right at JoeBucksFan.com. We appreciate all the subscribers. And the podcast, as we heard to open up, is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Remember all those fantastic offers for January. Hey, ball game's over at the end of this week. So we move into February. So don't wait. Get shopping now at EdMorseCadillacTampa.com and EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Now, Ira, I love this time of year on the podcast because I get to at least give the people out there a little glimpse into how and why you are the sage of Tampa Bay sports.
See, I'd like to know it myself, Steven. What do you got?
Well, even though Roy Cummings runs around the press box and says you're no sage of anything, this afternoon you spent an hour on the phone with Mike Shanahan.
Couldn't get him off.
And he's calling you back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right?
This is all in the John Lynch presentation effort, and we're going to focus a little bit more than we have in the past. Look, it's not going to overshadow what he did in 11 years in Tampa, but he had 4 years in Denver. Showcase different aspects of his skill set, like sacking the quarterback four times in 2005 when they had a hell of a team, tied for the team lead in sacks, forced four fumbles, four forced fumbles, and four sacks same season, 2005. I didn't know this till the other day, but somebody said he was the first player to do that since Rod Woodson, and first safety to do it since Rod Woodson in 1992. I mean, that's a 13-year span. So anyway, I got in touch with Mike Shanahan, called him. Mike Shanahan doesn't know me from Adam. You know, he's looking at, he sees an 813 number. Who the heck is this? So I told him he was prepared for the call, and I couldn't shut him up. I said, I'm here, you know, making a presentation for John Lynch Saturday morning. What do you need, Ira? What do you need? And then he just talked about how integral Lynch was for a very good Broncos team. 04, 05, 06, 07, four Pro Bowls, Ring of Honor. And then ironically, Steve, he's done in 08. He's done. His career's over. 15-year career. And he gets his release from Denver. He works it out with Shanahan. This is the way I want to handle it. Late July 2008. Next thing you know, here comes Bill Belichick. Every freaking day, calling John Lynch. John, we need you. We need you. Finally, Lynch relents. He goes up and joins the Pats for a couple weeks, and then he tells Belichick, I don't have the juice anymore, Bill. I can't do this. I don't have the passion. Belichick understood. But, Steve, that means something. When Bill Belichick wears you out over the telephone.
At 36 years old or so, it's pretty darn cool. You know, I know you and Shanahan talked about it a lot. When he does call you back, Ira, you got to ask him this. You got to promise me you're going
to
ask him this.
What do you want me to ask about Caleb Benenach? What do you want?
Mike Shanahan brought Chris Swaggy Baker into the NFL.
Oh.
It's all his fault that Baker got into the NFL. He played for years for Shanahan.
Wow.
But no, in all seriousness, while you could ask him about Swaggy, I'd love to hear you ask him, reflecting back. I think it would be a great, just great football knowledge, and especially where the Bucs sit between last year and what could be coming this year. You know, Mike Shanahan brought RG3 into the league and Kirk Cousins at the same time. And that's not something that happens a lot. And he had the two quarterback thing going on. And, you know, he was developing one guy while having a set guy. Might get some interesting perspective there, Sage.
And RG3 had that fantastic rookie season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. We don't know if the Bucs might draft a quarterback in the fourth round, fifth round. It was funny. I was listening to senior ball coverage, Ira, on Sirius NFL radio, and they have Ged Gruden on, and he was interviewed. I don't know.
Ged Gruden or John Gruden?
John
my
Gruden.
Friend
Chucky.
John Gruden.
Chucky was coaching one of the teams, and I think the interview might have been on at like 10 o'clock at night, and you could tell Gruden was just exhausted.
Did he have a couple, maybe?
I don't know. But, you know, a full day on the practice field and long season, whatever, wiped out. And he's talking about the quarterbacks. And, you know, usually he loves everybody. And this time he's like, yeah, well, that guy, you know, he's kind of who we thought he was. And he just wanted to brush right through him. But there were a couple he liked there. And I don't know, something for Shanahan.
I think he won the game, Gruden. I think he was the winner, the winning coach.
Now, when most people listen to this podcast on Tuesday, we're recording Monday night, a lot of people will be listening to the podcast, Ira, as you are sitting down with Bruce Arians. Again, Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, Sage Time with Bruce Arians. Who knows how much time you guys will have. If you have a few whiskeys, I won't blame you, Ira. But I got to tell you a little quick Bruce Arians story because, you know, I won't do it on my podcast, Ira, but you know the insanity that goes on in the Tampa Bay media with the anger and the jealousy and the distortion and the hatred and all this infighting that goes on. Well, I'm listening to CBS Sports Radio, Ira. You know, Tiki Barber has a show, and they're talking about the Bucks, and Tiki's talking about Rondé, and he's telling his co-host, well, hey, you know, Rondé knew well in advance of Arians getting hired that he was going to be the hire. I was just pending that physical, and, you know, so Rondé knew he just couldn't tell anybody, and then, you know, Arians comes to town, and, you know, he has a couple drinks with Rondé, and they gets with Arian's wife, and I'm listening to this. I'm like, all the people screaming fake news, Joe Bucks fan, you don't know what you're talking about. And here's Tiki Barber saying, yeah, Rondé knew way in advance.
I got a little addendum to that, Steve. About a week or two before it was official with Arians, I texted Rondé about, I think, the Hall of Fame, that he didn't go from the semifinalists.
Right.
So I called him. We were talking, and I mentioned Arians. You know, I go, it looks like Arians is the guy. You know, and I knew Rondé had a history with Arians.
Sure.
I just ran it past, you know what Rondé said on the phone? Very interesting, Ira. Very interesting. So when I talked to him, like the day after Arians was official, I go, you're unbelievable, Barber. You're unbelievable. He goes, what do you mean? I go, you are a master of discretion. I said, discretion is one of your great virtues. Nobody ever talks about it. He goes, what do you mean? I go, I mentioned Bruce Arians to you 10 days ago. You knew everything that was going on. And you tell me, very interesting, Ira. He almost dropped the phone laughing. He goes, what do you want me to say, Ira? Rodney knew everything that was going on.
A lot of people did. They just weren't in the media, but we knew.
Including
and we put
Joe
it out
Buxman, somehow.
There you go, Sage. Of course,
no timetable, Steve. No
and, of course,
table.
We've still yet to tell the Sage how we knew that, but we'll leave it at that, right? We'll leave it at that.
Save it for your memoirs, Steven.
Chapter 11. All right, Ira. Now, Arians actually was on CBS radio last week.
Does he ever say no? Does he ever turn down a freaking interview request?
I'm sure he does.
By the way, we're getting him on our podcast. One way or another, you know that, Steve, this year. We're getting him.
Well, this year, you're going to be with the guy tomorrow. Just say, Bruce.
Well, I'm not getting him on a podcast tomorrow, but I mean.
No, you just ask him. Hey.
And by the way, I want to make it clear, so people at One Buck don't have a conniption. I will be talking to Bruce Arians primarily about John Lynch, and I'm looking for a golden quote, which Arians is good at, about why John Lynch should have a gold jacket. And I think Arians is going to give me one hell of a quote that I can take into that room Saturday morning. I might even be able to turn Peter King with this quote. And Arians is good at it. I'm going to goad him into it. I will. No, I don't expect him to say he was better than Ed Reed. But he's going to tell me why John Lynch should have happy news on Saturday.
Well, if nothing else, it'll be an interesting angle for you to...
And he coached against him. He game-planned against John Lynch. Sure he did.
Absolutely. All right, Sage. Arians, like I said, he was on the radio, and he made a few comments that were a few head-scratchers, and one really ran in direct conflict.
I don't even think you should say it to Buck fans because they're going to go crazy.
Well, one ran in direct conflict to your recent column.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean.
Well, I'll hit them all.
Yeah, you'll hit them all. You'll hit them all.
But you wrote a column saying, hey, I think it was Friday, saying,
I said they should move on. Yeah, they should move
get on. Get rid of Ryan Fitzpatrick. Get rid of Ryan Griffin. And you don't need the distraction of Fitzpatrick, the potential distraction, really. Go get somebody else. New regime. Here we go. Well, Arians is asked point blank, Ira. Point blank.
Which show was this one, Steven? Do you remember?
This was also Tiki and Tierney. So Tiki Barber and his co-host, Brandon Tierney. And Tierney, who's a New York guy, and it's a very New York-centric kind of show, he flat out asks Fitzpatrick.
Yes, Arians, about Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, he says, I'll read it to you, Ira, because it's so stunning. He says, Fitzpatrick's not a bad guy to have in that quarterback room. He's been around. He's smart. He's put up some points. He'll be an asset, right, Bruce? And Arians.
That's kind of a leading question, you would call it. You know, leading.
All Arians has to say is, I got to evaluate everybody. Jameis is the guy and the backup, you know, we'll get there. But Arians says, oh, there's no doubt. You know Fitz. He's been doing it a long time. He's one of the streakiest guys I've ever played against. And so it's a very interesting quarterback room.
He just called the guy streaky. Enough said, Steven.
Well, maybe.
I think he said it just to screw me on my column. How do you like that?
That's possible. You know what? Maybe, Ira. And maybe this is far-fetched, but I don't think so. Arians is the quarterback whisperer. Maybe he's watched Fitz over the years and said, I bet I could fix that guy.
Maybe. I think that's a stretch. I'm sticking with my proposal. I don't think Fitzpatrick's coming back in a Buck uniform. Too much water under the bridge with him and Winston. I don't say they have a bad relationship. I'm not going to go that far. But it was strained last year with the benchings and stuff. And I don't think Fitzpatrick thought he should lose his job when they were 2-2. I don't think he was thrilled about that. And then, you know, and Winston didn't probably think he deserved to be benched. He understood coming out of the Cincinnati game at halftime, but he didn't like being benched when he was healthy, you know, with games following. And I thought Cutter kept him benched a week longer than he should have. I think a fresh start. If it's all about Winston, which Arian seems to indicate it is, and I truly believe it is all about Winston, I think you move on without Fitzpatrick.
I hear you, Ari. No, I just figured I'd share that with you. We know how you feel about Fitz.
He also said he wants DeSean Jackson back at this point. What's he going to say, Steve?
Well, there's a lot of things he could say.
He's still doing his evaluation.
He's still doing that evaluation. You know, Mike Evans was at the Pro Bowl, said he hadn't talked to Arians yet. I guess he's not talking to guys yet. I think it's very calculated. And, about the Lynch stuff, to go back to what you were saying before, I enjoyed last podcast, Ira, you and Lee, slugging it out.
47 minutes, Steven.
47 minutes for me to edit. All your beer glasses clinking and your chicken wing burping and all that. But in all seriousness, I've been telling you for years, focus on the Denver stuff with Lynch, just because I'm not going to call myself an objective observer, but that's kind of special that he's in the Ring of Honor there, Pro Bowls. It's unique.
You'd be foolish not to point that out strongly to the voters.
I would think the reason, or one reason he doesn't make it, is because he's so typecast as another Tampa 2 guy. So this sort of knocks him out of that box. But I think the biggest problem, Ira, and I hope, my fingers are crossed, that the voters aren't listening to your podcast because for what I'm going to say is, but when you read at the Denver papers and the Denver media, which I've been doing a lot.
The Broncos website.
Or even the last few weeks, when you read that, everybody and their brother there likes Atwater more than Lynch.
Because Atwater's a Bronco.
Right.
And Lynch wasn't a total Bronco, even though he's in the Ring of Honor.
But they seem to think he's more worthy. So I don't know.
I think that's a reflection that Atwater played. You know, he's a Bronco, and Lynch is a Buck, but also has those four, terrific years in Denver. I think that's a reflection of how many years a guy played for a team. I think that's what it is.
Well, Ira, I think the sad thing is I'm going to make an ugly prediction here, but I think those guys pull votes from each other, and it's a really long
road
here.
It happened the first year that Dawkins was on the ballot. They pulled votes, and here comes Jason Taylor. Nobody saw him coming, Steve. Nobody saw Jason Taylor. First ballot Hall of Famer. Nobody saw that. Guys knock each other out. That's what's going on with the offensive linemen. Mawai, Hutchinson, Faneca, and Boselli. They're all going, knocking each other silly, and not one guy is getting quite enough votes to push them across.
So, Sage, after all the back-channel stuff you've been doing, and I know what's going on with Lynch, we're not going to reveal that, but have you gotten any phone calls from people in other cities or people trying to manipulate your vote for another player? Has that happened yet to you?
The way they try to do it mostly is with emails, letters of support for different candidates. On the morning of the vote, they hand out brochures, which I will be doing this year. A nice color brochure with all the highlights of John Lynch's career in Tampa and Denver. Charts, quotes. Steve, I got so many quotes, I could write a 5,000-word story. From the Peyton Mannings and the Brett Favres and the Warners and the Tony Gonzalez's on down. What's interesting is a guy that's in the room and that's a competitor, Champ Bailey, was a very young player in Denver when Lynch arrived, and sort of Lynch was his mentor and helped him become a 12-time Pro Bowler, which is a phenomenal total, 12 Pro Bowls. Which is why he's got a pretty good chance of getting in as a first-time guy, and that's going to hurt Lynch. But, it's kind of ironic. Here's Champ Bailey, and he might get in, and Lynch may not. He was just a kid when Lynch broke in. So where's the protocol? Let's get John Lynch in.
Do you have anything from Bailey himself? Have you?
I do. Off the field, nicest guy you'd ever want to meet. On the field, a nightmare. Champ Bailey talking about John Lynch.
Well, we wish you luck.
You're never going to beat the Barry Sanders.
No.
You're never going to beat the Barry Sanders.
No.
Because, number one, he's not quoted very often. He doesn't say a lot of stuff. And so when he said John Lynch occupied a spot in your mind, that's tough to beat, Steve.
Classic. Yeah, like you said, he just doesn't talk very often. Well, we'll talk more on Thursday.
And
it's a tough road. But, hopefully he gets in, and then Team Glazer invites you on the private plane, and you go out.
I'm going. They got a Merlin Olsen luncheon Friday afternoon at the Marriott Marquis. Very exclusive. Arthur Blank and
Irv.
Irv, yeah. I think he just got divorced again. Number three. Sorry, Arthur. So anyway.
it's possible that you can get a job. As
listen to you
for full say 150 grand as Arthur Blank's permanent wingman on the circuit here on the town.
Who do you want me to introduce this to? Hooters of Port Richey. So anyway, I asked Lynch the other day. I said, "You coming to luncheon Friday?" "Oh yeah, I'll be there." He was there last year in Minneapolis.
He should be.
I go, "Is your wife coming?" Because she went with him last year, and I saw her in the lobby when the two of them were walking in. She's giving me like that look, like, "You gonna make this happen, Ira?" So I go, "John, is your wife coming?" He goes, "Oh, yeah. She'll be in Atlanta." I go, "I'm staying away from her." He laughed. He laughed. I mean, he knows everything that's going on. And he knows how hard it is, Steve. He's not bitter. But I know how much it means to him.
It's very hard. I mean, look, Atwater was a great player. You got Edgerrin James and Tony Gonzalez, and Champ Bailey's a slam dunk, and
Isaac Bruce, and you know.
And the worst part is that Ed Reed's in there. They're not going to put three safeties in, and
but they put two middle linebackers in last year. That shows that just because Reed's getting in doesn't mean Lynch can't. Doesn't mean that.
All right, Irish. Shifting gears back to the Bucs. We are 6 weeks from free agency, which just excites the hell out of me. I can't wait.
They're a little cash strapped, Stephen. A little cash strapped.
Well, they're cash strapped.
At the moment.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up.
At the moment.
Because this is a major pet peeve of mine in general. You can attack free agency however you want. You just have to be under that salary cap by September 1st. So it's okay, Bucks. You can go over the cap.
With no penalty.
You could be $20 million over the cap in April. Just cut it down after that. So go sign whoever you want, and then get rid of your Will Golston for $7 million and your Vinnie Curry for $8 million and your Bo Allen for $5 million and on down the line. And then you know what? Then you could go, Ira, seriously. You can then go, if let's say you do what you do and you're $8 million over the cap. That's when you go to Gerald McCoy with real leverage and real honest, hey, Gerald, we're $8 million over the cap. We need to rework your contract, and this is how we'd like to do it. And you can also go to other guys and rework contracts. I mean, hell, Ira, the Jaguars talked to Calais Campbell. They're redoing his contract to help out. So
happens all the time.
It should happen more often, and I'm not worried about money. This is the time to spend.
You're saying go get the guys you want.
Get the guys you want, cut later.
Yeah, you know? very smart, Steve.
Yeah, because people focus on, oh, we don't have enough for free agency. Go sign him. You know,
you can be resourceful.
League and the union negotiated this so teams don't have to worry about spending money. They can attack free agency and then make cuts and changes later. And
that's right.
So, anyway, just throwing that out there. But we're only 6 weeks away, which is, I mean, that's 42 days, and then it all gets cooking again, Iris. But one thing that Bruce Arians said, he was talking about the skill positions on CBS, and he said that quarterback, you know, turnovers, he can coach that. He said, quote, some technical stuff there. So it was sort of a message of sending, hey, you know, I'll fix the quarterback position. And then he also said, again, for the 10th time, we need work up front, meaning that O-line.
That's the only position I've heard him take a shot at. And he's done it several times.
And then he said they're otherwise, and he mentioned all the positions, they're loaded. And he included that, quote-unquote, loaded at running back, which, you know, I had people wondering on Twitter.
Come on, Bruce, we'll look at the film. Brucey, before you start talking.
People wondering on Twitter, Ira, and on email today, was he loaded when he said that?
Well, he ain't talking about Ronnie Jones, I can tell you that, because he hasn't seen Ronald Jones on a football field except for the tape. And we saw the tape. There's nothing to be gleaned from that.
Maybe he liked him in college. I don't know.
Well, loaded is a strong word. And like you said, he might have had a glass of Chablis or, you know, Pinot Grigio before that. But what I think is interesting is, you know, singling out the offensive line. You talked about free agency. Steve, left tackles don't fall off trees, and they're normally not available in free agency. Good left tackles. I mean, why would you let one go? But as far as the offensive line is concerned, there are going to be some big changes up front. I think it's going to be a big target in free agency and the draft. And I think there could be two or three new starters, depending on what happens with Donovan Smith.
I mean, a lot can change, and Arians,
I don't think Donovan Smith's set in stone, Steve. I just don't.
No. And it's interesting, you know, Lee's made the point, I think he made it with you on the last podcast, that the offensive line crisis in the NFL, if we all buy into that because, you know, the guys have less pro-style experience in college, plus all the eliminated practice time they can't develop, and the lack of...
You know what you need? A damn good offensive line coach. That's what you need, and that's what New England has. You can't name one of their offensive linemen, and they went to Kansas City, and I thought those five guys should have got the game ball, and I'm a Chiefs fan. They kept Brady untouched, 46 passes.
Oh, it was phenomenal.
Ran any time they wanted to. Steve, you saw the first half. They were in third and four about four times, and they ran the ball, and they made first downs every time. You know, and they don't have Barry Sanders back there. So that shows the confidence that Belichick has in those guys, and They played a phenomenal game, and that's the coach that was out of football for 2 years, Dante yep. Scarnecker, fantastic. Recognized widely, I think, as the best offensive line coach in football. Who knows? One day if they start putting in assistant coaches in the Hall of Fame, you know, 20 years from now, he could be a strong candidate. You need a damn good offensive line coach,
yeah.
Steve.
And, you know, point I was going to make is that, you know, we've talked about that, Lee talked about that, but I take that a step further. If that's the logic that, hey, we got this offensive line issue, then if there is a guy in the draft in the first round, if there is one that you think transcends, like a Quentin Nelson, who transcends the offensive
right.
line crisis,
right.
if there's a guy who is plug and play and is good no matter what, then he's more valuable than any other position because there's no crisis at other positions. So I don't rule it out.
I don't either.
You know, the Bucs haven't drafted a first-round O-lineman since, putting you on the spot, Ira.
Davin Joseph.
Good player.
Yeah,
he made a Pro Bowl or two. He was a good player. You know, he had some injuries, but that's the last time they went first round on an O-lineman. But if there is a guy there.
That was the Gruden era, right? Bruce
yeah,
Allen,
of course.
Gruden, yeah.
Of course. So if there is a guy there, he may be more valuable than ever.
I mentioned Jonah Williams, Steve. He's a tackle for Alabama, left tackle. He's intriguing, but the more I read about him, some people thought he got his ass whipped against Clemson in the title game. Now, Clemson's got some big boy, you know, defensive linemen that are going in the top 10 of the draft. He wasn't playing against bums. And he held his own, but he got whipped a couple of times. Keep your eye on this Jonah Williams. I think he's intriguing. He's sitting there. If he's sitting there at 5, and I'm not sure he will be, I think Arians might lean on Jason Light and say, hey, really, should we take this guy? Let's go take this guy.
Well, a couple things, Ira. You were asking me before we sat down today about a nugget from the Pro Bowl, and you know, I was out there, talked to a lot of people.
Was it raining that day, Steve? Was it raining?
Not the first day of
good
practices
day. Good,
and stuff. No,
good
beautiful,
good
beautiful
boy.
Day. Got some sun. It was very lovely. Cheerleaders were out there. It was great.
You don't call me?
Well, they pick a representative from each team, and, you know, anyway. But this was interesting, Ira. So Bruce Arians, we just heard, he says we're loaded at running back. Okay, well, he didn't go beyond that. Okay, take that with a grain of salt. But I don't think Arians would say that if he didn't like the guys we had. Now, fast forward to I pulled Chris Richard aside, the guy who interviewed for the Bucs job, Cowboys defensive play caller.
You must have worn out your tape recorder that day, Steve. You must have talked to 25
well,
people.
That's what I'm there to do, Ira. What am I going to talk to Rick Stroud?
I'm there to stuff my face, but, you know, you're on a mission.
No food.
Now I'm glad I didn't go.
Water cooler.
Oh,
paper,
geez.
2 ounce
oh,
paper
my
cups.
God. Come on, NFL. What's going on over here?
Nothing.
All right. So anyway, Chris Richard.
Last year we had Gatorade. A couple
damn
years
it.
Ago, some snacks.
Was Sal Powell wandering around?
No Sal Powell.
No Sal Powell. Okay. All right.
Well, I didn't see him if he was there.
Melissa Stark. I'm just throwing names out there.
All right. Get your head out of the gutter.
Continue.
So I pulled Chris Richard aside, and this guy's known for being high energy, and he, you know, an up-and-comer.
Some people thought he'd already have a head coaching job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so I pull him aside, and we talked for a while, which, you know, a lot of these guys don't like to talk for that long. And talked to him, then I got him put him on the record, and I asked him, hey, you know, you prepared for the Bucs, and in addition to the interview, you played him in December, you know, what stood out to you about this offense? And he goes right to Peyton Barber, which that doesn't happen very often when, meanwhile, he spent all day watching Mike Evans and Jameis Winston. Now, he had good things to say about Jameis, which I still have to write up, and Mike Evans, but First shot, Peyton Barber, and how hard and tough the kid is. So maybe Arians sees the same kind of thing.
I think Arians was focusing on Peyton Barber when he said that. And I like Peyton Barber, and so do you. I think you need more.
Of course.
But of course. I don't have a problem with Peyton Barber being one of your primary
backs. Just throwing it out there, Ira. But when I asked him if the you know me, I'm fishing. I asked him if the Glazers were in the interview. You know, and they were. And he had good things to say. But at the end, I asked him about Arians. Whole demeanor changed. He says to me, no risk it, no biscuit, and he walks away.
Wow.
Now, this was a guy who
Maybe he's mad that Arians got the job. I mean, who the hell knows?
Something's going on there. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. It could be. I have no idea. But
By the way, I don't know if I mentioned this on a podcast, but I found out that the Vikings D coordinator, George Edwards, I believe, he had a phenomenal interview. And Jason Light, I mentioned it to him after the Arians press conference, and I ran it past Light, and he said the guy was tremendous. So he's a guy to keep your eye on maybe a year from now in terms of head coaching vacancies. George Edwards, Vikings D coordinator. Now, the Vikings defense wasn't great this year, Steve. Wasn't great. I don't think they played up to their potential, but he's highly regarded, as you are. As you are.
Oh, Ira, Ira.
And by the way, let me throw out one more thing.
Well, highly regarded, that's Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Get to the websites, edmorriscadillactampa.com, edmorriscadillacbrandon.com. You can shop pre-owned, new, the amazing Instacash deals available right now. Instacash savings for your trades and up to $18,000 off on 2018 models. You got to check it out, edmorriscadillactampa.com. EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com.
I wanted to make one more point, Stephen, before we wrap this up, and we'll be back later in the week. Steve, as a Chiefs fan, I'm over it. I'm over it. You know, they were outplayed. I'm not blaming any official. It's not the New Orleans Rams game. They were outplayed. Deserved to lose. New England deserved to win. I'm taking the high road.
Steve, yeah, we talked about it, sure.
Still pissed off about D Ford. What the hell are you doing? Lining up, you know, the game was over with that pick. What are you doing? But, Steve, I have mentioned on this podcast time and again, and you have heard me, and on the Mad Dog time and again, Bob Sutton's got to go. Bob Sutton's got to go. They dumped him. Now, interesting, Steve. I'm trying to read the tea leaves. Loyalty, Andy Reid, Sutton, 6 years in Kansas City. Six, long time. I don't think Reid wanted to fire him, but he fired him. Pressure, Steve, pressure. And without knowing all the details, I'm not sure Cutter wanted to fire Mike Smith even when he fired him. I'm not sure that came from Dirk Cutter. Pressure, pressure. You got to do what people tell you you got to do. And they've hired Spagnuolo. I think that's a good hire. I salute the Chiefs organization. They did what they had to do. Sutton had to go. Nice man, wasn't getting the job done.
I'm glad you're happy.
I'm happy, and I think Todd Bowles is going to be a good choice in Tampa to run Arians' defense. He's aggressive. He's not passive. You're going to see a whole different mindset from the 2019 Buck defense.
One thing we're going to have to watch closely as the draft season now really kicks in, you know, the assessments come and the combine, is really how hot are these quarterback prospects, because the Bucks are sitting there at five, and what kind of bounty is there for them to trade down?
Oh, I see.
Because, you know, Arians is Mr. No Risk It, No Biscuit, and you can apply that in many areas of life, but in any way you want. So No Risk It might be, hey, you know, let's risk it and get what Jason Light did last year, but even better.
Yeah, maybe get the best guard in the draft at number 11.
Because the stakes are always higher with when it's a quarterback.
And you pick up a second-round pick. Or better. Yeah,
you know. So yeah. I mean, look at what the Jets did last year, trading with Indianapolis, who you know, cashed in big time. So a lot of fun stuff ahead. It's going to be an exciting season. I'm very excited to hear what happens with you and Mr. Arians, and if you end up at Mons Venus, you know, things happen.
And we'll talk more about the Lynch presentation on the next podcast.
All right, Ira, you're fired, and that didn't come from above. I'm just doing it.